Okay, notice the verse up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now think about that verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, it's an interesting time of year. We're just a few days past Thanksgiving. Christmas is just around the corner. Some of you in this room are part of the group that complains that Christmas starts too early. All right, you complain because of the Christmas decorations that are put out in Meijer and Walmart around Halloween time. better stay with me before you say amen. And you complain about the different aspects of it. And, you know, I am one who, I am quick to complain a lot of times. You can ask my wife. If we walk into a mall, my attitude drastically changes. I hate shopping. Hate shopping. I mean, just, I haven't found it in the Word of God, but I firmly believe there's going to be a mall in hell. It's just torture. I develop a bad attitude, and, you know, the day after Thanksgiving on Friday, my wife got up early, and her sister went out shopping a little bit and then came home, and, no, not her sister, her niece. And then she wanted me to go with her, and we walked into Kohl's, and immediately my attitude was bad. It was. I don't think I ever apologized. Christy, I apologize publicly to you. Because it was bad. I had a bad attitude. I walked in and said, I'm not standing in that line. I mean, it was, you know, 3/4 of the way back to the back of the building. And then we started for home and we stopped in Jackson to get a bite to eat. And we went into Kohl's in Jackson. And I purposely changed my attitude. As soon as we walked in, I told Christy, you just go shopping and I'll go stand in line. And as soon as we walked in the door, I just stood in line for about an hour. And this is how God works. The line in Chesterfield was 3/4 of the way back. The line in Jackson was all the way back to the back of the store. I mean, so it was an even longer line. But we're in there, and I was just talking with the people around me and listening to the Christmas music that was playing. And even in Kohl's, a secular store, whether intentionally or not, probably not, Away in a Manger came over the radio or over the PA system. Why is it that we complain about reminders of Jesus Christ? Because that's what Christmas is. Whether people intend it or not, and I don't know, I don't think I have time in the layout of this season, but in the past, I've done a message on different aspects of Christmas that are tied to Christianity, and most people don't even know. The lights you display around your house, the lights you put on a tree, the wreaths, the Christmas tree itself. There's so much imagery pointing to Christ. And whether that's intended, and we know it's not, when you walk into a Walmart, when you walk into a Myers, when you see the display way too early, why don't you not complain? Don't have the attitude your pastor has. Change it and start to praise God for the reminders of the birth of Jesus Christ. And use those things as reminders. Use those things to point our hearts and our minds in a direction that it should be going to honor and glorify God. You know, our verse this morning gives us Thanksgiving and Christmas. Thanks be to God. Thanksgiving for his indescribable gift. Christmas. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And this morning I want us to think about three questions about this verse and how it relates to thanking and giving. Number one, who is this thankful person? Who is this thankful person? The thankful person who penned these words is the Apostle Paul, greatest missionary of all time. Think back and remember Paul's life. He was once a persecutor of the church. He'd been a Pharisee. He was taught in the law. He was very religious, extremely religious, but he was lost. He needed a Savior. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And this is a story you know. It's a story of Saul's, before he was Paul, conversion. In Acts chapter 9, I'm going to look at a lengthy passage. We're going to look at 1 through 31, just by way of a reminder. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 31. It says, now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. He asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. Leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. He said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He regained his sight and he got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on this name, and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests? But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. He was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, but they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Here is the story of Saul coming to Christ, of the Apostle Paul giving his life to Jesus Christ. Salvation moved him from religion, you know, because he was extremely religious. Salvation moved him from religion to redemption and to a relationship with Jesus Christ. He was changed from a persecutor to a preacher. Now, from a human standpoint, sometimes we look at a story like this, a true story like this, and we say, you know what? It just isn't fair. Saul was not a good man. He was literally hunting down people, Christians. Wanted to see him killed. Had his hand in having them killed and dying horrible deaths. In And now, God, you're telling me your plan is to forgive a man like that. You know, we tend to have a pretty high opinion of ourselves, and we would never verbalize it, but we think maybe we're worth Jesus dying for us. Maybe we're worth being forgiven, but not a guy like him. Not the murderer on death row, or the rapist, or the child molester, or the, and on the list goes. I'm better than they are. I deserve it. Not one of us deserves having Jesus Christ die on the cross to pay for our sins. But he did. He did for Saul. You know, every conversion, anytime somebody comes to Christ and recognizes him as Lord and Savior of their life, it's a miracle. Because it's all of God. You know, it's completely God. This miracle of grace made Paul a thankful man. He was thankful for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And he often, you see in his writings, again and again and again, he urged everybody else, all those who accepted Christ, to be continually thankful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he wrote, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So this thankful person was Paul. Now, number two, what's this gift? What is this gift? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Romans 6:23, it's a verse you know, you can quote. "For the wages of sin is death, but the" what? "Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." This gift is Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offered by his death, burial, and resurrection. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son," God gave his son, "born of a woman, born under the law." And in 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That gift is Jesus Christ. That gift is eternal life through what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. That gift was made possible by his birth, his death, his resurrection. The greatest gift that could ever be offered, the greatest gift that could ever be received. You know, we love to get gifts. You know, I don't care what the occasion is, we love to get gifts. Think back to your graduation from high school. It still kind of baffles me that, you know, we get all these gifts for graduating high school. You can pretty much sleep half the time and graduate high school. You know, and when you graduate from college, there you go. You know, give them a pat on the back, and here's the bill you have to pay. You know, but and if you're like me, when you think back to your graduation open house, and how many of you did exactly the same thing I did? You know, you didn't do it in front of everybody. You waited until everybody went home, and you sat down with that basket of cards. You didn't look to see who it was from. You didn't look to see if anything was written in. You just looked to see if there was a check. Right, and how many zeros it had. You know, that's our mentality. You know, we focus on the gift. You know, if you buy new clothes, you demonstrate them. And you feel bad if nobody notices. You know, you want to be seen in those new clothes. You want somebody to say, "Man, that looks nice." You know, if wives, we as husbands hardly ever do this, but if we show up unexpectedly with flowers, you know, you tell your friends, "You wouldn't believe what my husband did." You know, we tell people about these gifts. This morning, I hope most of us have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. Are we telling people, are we excited about this gift? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. this gift of Jesus Christ. It's no wonder Paul used that word indescribable, or maybe your translation says unspeakable. I don't care how long I'm a child of God. I don't care how long I'm a pastor. I'm never going to fully grasp the possibility and the certainty that Jesus Christ came to this earth for me. He gave his life for me. He's given me a home in heaven. You know, I have eternal life. He's my Lord and Savior. He did this for me. That is indescribable. You know, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Jesus gave up the glories of heaven and came to this earth to suffer, to be persecuted. You know, he lived a sinless life so that he could be qualified to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. That's beyond comprehension. That's indescribable. That's unspeakable. Something we can't totally get. And after Paul received this gift, this indescribable gift, he went and he told others about it. Again and again and again. He went around the world telling people about this gift. Do we do that? Do we tell people about this gift? Paul's thankful heart made him a constant giver. He didn't hold anything back from the Lord. He prayed, he preached, he endured persecution, all with thanksgiving. Are you thankful for that gift? Number three, who is this giver? We pretty much covered that in our verses, but John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Romans 8:32, "He, God, did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things?" God is the giver. And God's great gift assures us of forgiveness and heaven. The gift is about the manger. The gift is about the cross. It's about Jesus Christ coming to this earth for us. And this gift is guaranteed by his resurrection. This indescribable gift is the result of God's love. Are we thankful for more than just food and football on Thanksgiving? Are we thankful for Christ? Are we thankful for this gift? Our thanks should rise to God for the miracle of redemption. Our thanks should motivate us to share this gift with others, to share the gospel message. You know, often around this time of year, you have your Christmas list planned out. All right, we're going to buy this for this person, this for this person. And then suddenly you get a gift from somebody that's not on your list. What's your first thought? Oh, I got to get them a gift now. Right? Be honest. That's what you think, right? And so we make this mental note, and so now I got to reciprocate. You know, God, the great giver, wants something from us too. He wants us. He wants our heart. He wants our life. He wants something in return. I sent Jesus for you. Now give me you. You know, he wants us. You know, it's not enough to just see the gift. It's not enough to take it and touch it. I have to make it mine. I have to personally take and receive that gift of Jesus Christ, that gift of salvation. But praise God, that indescribable gift is available for me and it's available for you. All we have to do is receive Jesus Christ and he's waiting to be our Savior. He's waiting to be our Lord. He will simply come when we receive that gift of salvation. And then when that happens, we need to be like Paul. And we need to be thankful. We need to be telling others about this gift. Right here this morning, have you received that gift? Jesus Christ came to this earth for you. Lived a sinless life so that he could die as your substitute. Because the Bible tells us we all deserve hell. For the wages of sin is death, separation from God. That's what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets to heaven except through me. You can't do enough. You can't earn your way. It's only through Christ. Is that true for you this morning? You've received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. If not, I'm going to ask you to do something. When the worship team comes and we close with a song, I'm going to stand right up here. And if you want to receive that gift today, come up and talk to me. Let's sit down and let's look at the Word of God and see what he says about this gift. Most of us have received this gift. But how many of us are telling others about this gift? Let me tell you about the greatest gift I ever received. That's an easy lead-in this time of year. Let me tell you about this greatest gift I've ever received. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ and what a difference he made in my life. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this indescribable gift. Lord, right now, if there's somebody who has never received your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior of their lives, may today be the day of salvation for them. May today be the day that they boldly stand up and walk down front and just say, Pastor, tell me about Jesus Christ. Now, we know most of us have received that gift, but do we live in gratitude for Jesus Christ? Are we telling others about the greatest gift we've ever received, about the greatest gift ever offered? May we be faithful to proclaim your truth, to tell people about this indescribable gift of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.